This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's a very special Alumni Conversations episode where I, Isa Virus, chat with YWP alumna Troublemaker about what she's been up to since graduating high school, YWP, and having many pieces published on Medium. I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, my name is Jaden. My YWP username is Troublemaker, and this is my piece called Please Let Your College Student Use Glass Cups Again. The plastic ones are problematic. An email from the College Dispute Committee. To whom it may concern. Subject: Please consider not banning your college student from using household glass cups. We know how it looks. The college student comes home from her dorm life, throws her garbage bag of dorm essentials in your linen closet, reverts your brand new workout room back to a bedroom, then raids the fridge and pantry for anything high in sugar and artificial flavors. To top it all off, she pours herself a large glass of Gold Peak tea, puts the half-empty cup down on the wooden mantle for a second with the promise of washing it later, intentionally, and then leaves it there overnight for you to find in the morning. Unintentionally. We understand this event has occurred frequently, with various beverages, even though you tried multiple times to explain the grossly unappealing aesthetic of half-full glass cups and ring stains on the mantle. We even heard that this can multiply repeatedly within a given day if let alone. The horror. It seems you have not gotten inspiring results. The college dimwit, aka your kid, still never takes down and washes the fermenting glass cups. For this reason, you found it appropriate to ban said college students from using glass cups, and instead brought red cups as they are disposable and do not need to be washed. Honestly, we don't blame you. Except that we do. We are sending this message in the hope that you will, somehow, reconsider this decision. As you contemplate lifting the ban on the glass cup probation, your college student has created the following key points for you to consider. 1. Glass cups make everything taste better. 2. College student feels very important and grown up sipping any beverage from a glass cup. Don't we all? 3. There is rising jealousy between college student and your younger sibling, who can use glass cups. Not to mention kitchen knives, but that'll be addressed in another email. Baby steps. 4. Anything inside of a glass cup is assumed to be something it is not. 5. Red cups do not go well with the mantle and are an eyesore to the room when left there overnight by said college student. 6. Student has reported feeling a strong need to set up a game of beer pong with said cups. Due to those above reasons, we formally ask you to reconsider banning the use of glass cups for the college student. She is deeply sorry for constantly forgetting to take them off the mantle, and is even more sorry that the red cup doesn't match the mahogany of the mantle nearly as well as the glass cups did. She promises to be on her best behavior, lest you will make her eat from Tupperware lids instead of glass plates in the coming weeks. Furthermore, drinking out of red cups makes her feel like she is back in college, except without the academics. Yes, academics. Also, the neighbors are getting suspicious. We hope this has made you reconsider, because really, at the end of the day, the best solution to your glass cup problem is to remove the mantle from your living room. Clearly, this college student will put up any cup there and forget about it, regardless of the durability, material, or color. We've seen it before and we'll see it again. Better to take away the surfaces she places the cup on and hope she doesn't use the floor next. Hang in there. Best. The Home from College Dispute Coordinator.
Oh, thank you so much. So what was your experience like writing and publishing this piece?
Oh, my experience for this was so awesome and also very nerve-wracking. So this was part of an internship that I'm doing where I'm basically helping to run their social media accounts. And in return, I get an editor who's helping me write funny pieces, and I get like free books of how to write funny. And this was my very first piece, and I was kind of scared because the audience for this platform are not college students. There are a lot of, you know, I don't know, they're just older. They're adults. And so it was interesting for me to try and find a topic that I could still very much relate to, but that they would also find funny. But this is very much a true story. And I wrote it in one night after this became an issue with my mom. And I was like, oh, it's just a bunch of cups on the mantle. And she's like, you need to wash the cups. You're getting red cups. And then I got red cups. And I was like, I feel like that's funny and that should be included in this, in my blog here. And so that's what I did. And the entire experience was, it was so fun to just like write and have somebody edit your work. But it was also nerve-wracking as my very first piece on this very new platform.
Oh my gosh, I can so relate to it. I may or may not have a problem leaving mugs all over my room. What can I say? That's so cool that you had an editor. I mean, I've gotten like feedback from other people about my writing, but I've never had like an official editor to like go through and give me feedback and that kind of thing. What's that been like? Has it been like kind of stressful, or does it kind of feel similar to like submitting an English assignment or something?
Yeah, definitely in the beginning, it felt very much like I was submitting an assignment and waiting for someone to just like mark it all up and be like, oh, this is wrong, fix that. But like this editor, his name's Gary Chapin, shout out to him. He's great. He's very much like, these are all suggestions. You don't have to take any of them. Like, this is just my opinion. He'll fix my spelling mistakes because I still have spelling mistakes. But it's very much like, I suggest adding this here. I suggest cutting this out. But it's nothing that I have to do, which is always nice. And then there's just a lot of communication like throughout the week of, oh, you know, I heard that there was something funny in the news. You should check it out. Maybe it sparks an idea. So things like that.
I think it's so cool to have a source of inspiration like that. Someone who's kind of giving you things that you might be interested in.
So true. Yeah, he definitely, we have meetings like with the staff and everybody, and he'll give us a writing prompt in the beginning. And he was like, what's something that made you laugh this week? And then we had to just like write it down. And then he private messaged me on Zoom and was like, this is your article for the next week. I was like, that's awesome. That's great.
That's so exciting. Oh my gosh. How have you kind of continued to keep writing and publishing in your life throughout college, you know, with a busy schedule and a job and all these other things? Does it kind of feel difficult to balance, you know, writing and enjoying what you write too?
Yeah, I would say it is. I actually stopped writing for maybe like 3 or 4 months when I first got to college, just because I was in like an English class and I was writing other papers. I couldn't find the time to kind of sit down and do my own writing. And then I actually started a Instagram poetry account. And I was like, maybe this will help, you know, like this will make me write a bit more. Nope, I still have it. I don't use it very often. It's there and I still want to try. But I think it wasn't until probably like midway through second semester that I was really like, okay, I'm going to like get back into this. I'm just going to start kind of pushing myself to write something, anything. And then over the summer, I think I picked it up again because I had a lot more free time and I had all these experiences from college that I wanted to remember. So I was more inclined to write them down.
I took a lot of time off from writing. Like for myself, because I was taking a poetry class this past semester, which was really great. It was like one of my favorite classes I've taken. And so I wrote a lot for that, which was great, but I didn't really write anything outside of it that wasn't an assignment or just for myself, or like maybe one or two if I liked an idea, but it wasn't like, you know, my heyday back in middle school when I'd write like 10 poems a day and love every single one.
No, I completely agree. I think like there came a point like in the first semester when I would write, I think I wrote like one poem and I was like, whoa, you know, I did it. It came back for like a little bit. But I do like this coming year, I hope to join a writing club that they have on campus, like a creative writing club. And I hope that's going to help me just like exercise that muscle because I love doing it. And I honestly can't believe I didn't write for so long and was just like, okay with that. But it really was. I think it was good to take a break because then you kind of come back with like a fresh look at yourself, and your writing voice might have even changed a little bit. So that time off is kind of therapeutic.
Yeah, I think that's great. I kind of have been feeling for the past like year or so, I've been feeling like my writing just bugs me. Like I feel like I write about the same thing in every poem and it's important to me and it matters to me, but I'm just kind of sick of it because I feel like I'm not, you know, really approaching it from a different angle. But lately I've been writing a lot about adolescence and adulthood and how I'm kind of existing in like the blur between the two and kind of my feelings on being an adult and not knowing how to adult TM and just like being generally stressed out but also excited and like that weird feeling of I can't wait for my future, I hate what my future is going to be like, I just am so excited to meet people, I don't want to talk to anyone, you know, like all these really conflicting feelings. And like it's just been giving me a lot to think about. And I think when I have too much to think about, I can't write. My brain's got to be in a very specific mindset to let me write.
Yep. And I think especially, you know, for me going into college, it's like a completely different environment and everything's changing. It's like, there's nothing for me to write about. It would just be like ink, just like a big ink blob. It would not form words, you know, because I didn't have any words at that point. I was just trying to like process everything. But with that, I wanted to ask you, Iris, because like we're kind of in the same boat with just not writing for a long time. I feel like I turned adult, like 18, and then I couldn't find places to put my poetry because I was like, I had to kind of do research on like who was taking submissions. And then I was like, I don't want to enter contests. I just want a place to like put everything, you know, and it's like, can't find a place as good as Young Writers Project. It was very difficult.
Yeah, that was actually going to be one of my questions for you, was like, how have you kind of found a new writing community or any kind of place to find similar support like YWP? I mean, I've submitted some poems to some literary magazines, but I have low hopes for it, just because I've submitted a bunch in the past and nothing great has come out of it. And I always feel like, I don't know, it's kind of like talking to a wall. Whereas like YWP, at least I get feedback or suggestions to improve it, or, you know, a nice little comment from someone who enjoyed it. But these other places where I submit my poems, it's like, submit, wait 9 months, no. And it's just kind of, it's discouraging, I think. It's difficult to go from YWP that's so supportive and encouraging to, you know, all these literary magazines that are just kind of not as welcoming. They favor more experienced writers.
Yeah, I definitely agree, which is part of why I was so happy when I found Medium. It's in Medium. It's called Medium. Took me like 3 weeks to understand that, because they were also very just like accepting, and the community was small enough that I was like, oh, it's like, you know, YWP more adult-ish and like more adults post on it, but they take everything and it's just like, you know, they'll help you and give feedback, but they won't say like, oh, no, sorry. You know, which I think a lot of places, that's how they do things. And it's hard for like, as a writer to continue writing when you don't have anywhere to put your work. And if that's something that you want to do, obviously if it's for, you know, yourself, then that's maybe not as much of an issue. But yeah, adulting.
Oh man, I was going through kind of a rough patch, like between the end of the semester and graduation, and then like a little bit after graduation, because I was like, I don't want to be an adult. I don't want any of this. Like, let me just say no. Like, I'm going to cancel all of it, cancel my order. And then I was like, oh man, can't do that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's weird. And I feel like being away at college, because I was 4 hours away, so I felt like I had to be more like adult. And then I came back home, I was like, Ma, could you go get milk? I don't want to go. I went in college, but you're here. You can do it.
I'm in a couple of group chats for my college, and someone said laundry is $5. And like probably 20 people were like, no, laundry costs money? And they were like, $5? Like, no one can believe it. And I was like, wow, this is a great generation.
Crazy. Yep, you have to really just throw in everything, hope for the best.
It's like, well, geez, I will wash my clothes one time throughout the semester. Then I was like, do I know how to do laundry? I don't know.
There were some kids in my college who did not understand how the laundry machines worked. Granted, I didn't know where to put in like the money and the coins and stuff, but they're like, yeah, so a Tide Pod, like, what happens with it? Like, do I put in like 7? Like, no, it's one. Maybe 2 if you're feeling fancy.
It's so weird to me though, because it's like there are such basic life skills that I have no idea how to do. What a great like juxtaposition of these things where it's like I feel like I'm 70% still a child, but at the same time that 30% of adulthood is really
really kicking me in the butt. I had to do like taxes. It's like, wait, what? How does that work? Where do I go? And then I voted for the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do?
Oh, I can vote now. Oh my gosh.
You can. Crazy.
I feel like it's so weird when you're 18 because it is so like split up between being a child and being treated like a child, but being an adult suddenly. And like that difference between 17 and 18 is like night and day.
Very stark.
It is crazy. And it's like, it just comes on so fast that like, you don't even realize that you're an adult until like, you've done taxes and you've done this and that. And it's like, wow, that just happened. I don't know. Maybe it's like nostalgia. Lately, I've been like, man, I hated middle school, but now I kind of miss it.
Rather have those random sixth grade fights on the playground than whatever this is I'm doing right now.
Yeah, because it's like my concerns in middle school were so benign and like so basic. It was like, that boy looked at me and we made eye contact and it was magical.
Oh my God, what does it mean? Did he look at you again?
Oh my God, I think he likes me. I think he has a crush on me.
Oh my God, does he actually?
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Like, that's all I was concerned about for a solid 3 years of my life. And now I'm like, I have no idea how to like kind of go back to that simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where I'm like feeling too overwhelmed to write and feeling too overwhelmed to like create new thoughts.
Yep. Still trying to deal with the old thoughts that are just, they just keep circulating. Keep coming back. Yeah. I definitely think it's a balance that everybody just has to kind of find in their own time.
Mm-hmm. Another question. What else have you been up to since graduation and starting college, and how's that all going?
That's a large question. What have I been doing? Okay. Well, I graduated. Yay. What did I do that summer? Wait, hold on. Okay. Well, major things. I went to college. And my college is very club oriented. Like, that's how you make friends, is by joining clubs, and the clubs are very welcoming. So I actually signed up for 13 clubs. I did like, I'm doing four of them. I whittled it down, but I'm getting emails from 13 different clubs, which is fun. You know, there's like the Buddha club that I still get, like they send poems in the Buddhist like email list. And I just read them once a week. Like, oh, that's so beautiful. I should go sometime. Haven't been yet, but maybe this semester, we'll see. I'm also in a band for violin. It's called Honeymoon. Follow us on Instagram, Honeymoon the Band, which has been super fun. Just kind of playing music in a setting that's like not classical, which is kind of cool. Been writing a lot of essays, unfortunately. And been exploring Boston a lot because I'm close to Boston and it's so interesting. I like architecture, which I didn't really know until I got there, but my friend was pointing out like, oh yeah, this building was like in the 50s. You can tell by like the material. And then this was in like the 1920s. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, there's just a hodgepodge of like generations and like things that happened in Boston. And it's so cool to just walk around and like eat a hot dog or get gelato and just like watch like history just there. It's so cool.
That is so cool. I love places like that, like where you can see like how old this place is and how many people have lived here and like how many stories there are.
Yeah, it's so cool. Actually, I took a picture of a building. Well, this was in New York City, but it was like three different buildings with like, it was like concrete and then brick and then steel. And I was like, there's a story in there. There really is. Like, that could be the cover of an awesome book of some sort. I don't know. Just the story of this one building that has so many people and so many memories.
Yeah, that's so special. I think it's cool that you're joining all these clubs and making all these friends and being in a band. That sounds really fun.
So fun. They're very fun people.
I am going to college part two this fall. Having conflicting feelings about it, mainly excitement. I'm starting to buy stuff for my dorm. And as a coping mechanism, I am buying a bunch of throw pillows, which is like, never in my life have I liked throw pillows. They kind of make me nauseous, but now I'm buying a bunch of them. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, I was so scared about going to college. I refused to get dorm stuff because I was like, maybe if I don't have like a mattress topper, then my parents will make me go. Then I can just stay here. And so my mom got a whole bunch of stuff and I was like, yeah, I want like a cool like pink and yellow theme. And she buys me like a blue and purple mattress. And so now my room is blue and purple. And I was like, that's totally on me. Probably should have done some shopping for that. But I haven't heard of the throw pillow thing yet. That's new.
No one has. It's just me. It's me being like, yes. And apparently I'm like into mushrooms now. I don't know why. Someone needs to help me.
She's wearing a shirt with mushrooms right now.
I'm wearing a shirt with mushrooms.
As we speak.
I bought two mushroom pillows, a mushroom blanket. I almost bought a mushroom lamp. I don't know what's happening to me. I've never liked mushrooms before.
there's an aesthetic.
I think it's interesting how, like, to, like, kind of process something, you just have this, like, weird habit or, like, this weird mindset just, like, comes out and you're like, I never knew that that was a part of my personality before.
I remember when I started high school, my friend and I had totally opposite coping mechanisms. Like, our parents went out to Target, had all these coupons and, like, bought a bunch of stuff. And my friend was like, we need more. I need more binders. I need more pencils. I need more paper. And I was on the opposite side. I was like, this is too much. We need to tone it down. I'm not going to need all of this. Put it back. Send it all back. Because I was like, that means I'm going to have to fill these, like, 8 binders of, like, 2-inch, like, binders with, like, stuff for high school. That was, like, so scary to me. So it's so weird how we, like, cope with things and our mindset going into new experiences.
Yeah, I am definitely more on the side of your friend. I like buy way too many, like, random things I don't need and, like, too many things and color code everything. Like, for the past probably 18 years of my life, I have bought color coded sticky notes, color coded notebooks, color coded pencils, like, as many color coded things that I can, I will buy. And I don't know why. It's like a, like, an organization thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you feel more organized going into something, like, whatever it is, I can organize it.
It's fine. It's like, if I can physically organize it, then I'll feel emotionally prepared for it. I think that's the, like, feeling. Well, what have you been reading lately?
I'm not reading as much as I should be. I wish I was reading more. Honestly, I've been reading a lot of the articles on Medium, on the site that I just posted my article on, for social media content, because then we can make, like, TikToks out of it and stuff. And also because they're really funny and they make my day. But there have unfortunately not been very many books that I've been able to pick up and get through. I think the last book I read was, oh, it was New York 2140, which was this futuristic book about New York City, if, like, the world flooded and how it would, like, adapt to global warming. It was very interesting. It was, like, 600 pages. And it told the entire story from the perspective of, like, 8 different people. So it was, like, a movie star, and then, like, these 2 little boys, and then, like, this random YouTuber or, like, influencer, and then this random, like, mechanic. And it's so cool how all their stories, like, kind of intertwined in very, like, mundane ways. Like, the movie star would have to get, like, a leak fixed because something flooded, so the mechanic comes. And then they later, like, fall in love. And it was really cool just to see all the characters intersect and also have their own experiences within this new climate changing thing. So that was the most recent book, which was a while ago, but it was really good.
I'm reading 100 Years of Solitude right now. I'm, like, halfway through it. Unpopular opinion: I don't think it's that life-changing. I mean, it's a good story and I'm kind of enjoying it, but I am so confused by who the characters are, because all the male characters have the same name. There are 17 characters with the same name. And I am so confused. I honestly don't know who married who is in the army. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know what world I'm living in. And so it's, like, it's a very confusing experience, but I'm trying to stick with it because I'm like, everyone says this is such, like, a life-changing book. Like, it's so good. And it's like, you have to read it before you die. It's on, like, all those, like, 50 books to read before you die list. So I'm trying to, like, enjoy it, but also not force myself to enjoy it, because I feel like when there's something that's so popular, you feel like, or maybe just I feel like this, but, like, I feel like I have to enjoy it. Like, it has to be my new obsession.
I'd have to agree. I feel like having unpopular opinions should be more normalized. You know, like, sometimes not everybody's going to like everything. Like, without spoiling anything, I will say Stranger Things. Like, I don't know if you watched that series, but volume 2 for me, I hyped it up more, and then I watched it and I was like, oh, you know, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, Stranger Things, like, volume 2, like, oh my goodness. I was like, oh, you know, and I feel bad because I'm like, I really should love it. But then the other part of me is like, no, you're like, you don't have to like everything that everybody else likes or that you think everybody else likes. And forming your own opinion is definitely, I mean, very important. So I've not read 100 Years of Solitude. Is it a sad book?
Sad that I can't keep track of the characters. No, it's like a big, long, sprawling drama. That reminded me when we were talking about like not having to like popular things. This is an extremely unpopular opinion, apparently. I don't think that Friends, the TV show, is that good.
No.
And I know that's like a knife to the heart to a lot of people because a lot of people like Friends, but I've seen a bunch of episodes and I just don't like it that much. Like, it doesn't make me laugh. I think it's a good concept, but somehow it just doesn't do it for
Yeah.
me.
I don't blame you. I've heard that before from like one or two other people, and I'm like, really? Because I find Friends absolutely hilarious. Oh no, I really think it's a difference of just, like the jokes and stuff. And some people like it and some people don't. Like, I'll say I don't like The Office, and I feel like people love The Office, and I can't get over the camera angle. Like, it's so wobbly. I can't pay attention to anything else. Like, how do you get through 8 seasons of this?
I know.
Oh, but not to tie that back into funny writing, because that's been the only thing I'm doing lately. But I did read something that was like these popular sitcoms and like comedy shows aren't as popular right now because these industries are trying to like push all of these cool films like abroad and everything, which is awesome. It's like Marvel films and stuff, but because funny doesn't translate very well, because there's like a language barrier, they're not focusing on that as much. I thought that was really interesting because also I think funny in general can only like it can translate well sometimes, and then other times it really doesn't hit. And it's so interesting. It's like trial and error, and you really need to know your audience. And then sometimes you're like, I thought that was hilarious, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, we have our own like versions of humor or senses of humor or something like
So I
that.
guess Friends isn't your sense of humor. Like, fine.
I don't know why, because like in theory, I would love that. Like a bunch of friends going to a coffee shop and having drama, like sounds great. Sounds like my life, but I don't know. I've just never enjoyed it that much. Do you think that you've changed a lot since you first started publishing your writing?
Yes, very much so. How? That's the question. I think in the beginning, I was very timid to write about me. I would write about it or that or they or anything else, which I felt like was fine in terms of just me kind of gaining confidence, especially in my poetry. But it took a while for me to kind of write down me and kind of express my own feelings instead of my feelings or some what I think someone else is feeling. And then recently, I think I've taken this kind of funny path, I guess, just because that's the publication that I'm working with at the second. And again, I'm doing the same thing. I'm talking about it and that and they and anything but me and what I find funny. Because like the article I just had, it's from the College Dispute Committee. It's an email, so it's not me talking about it, even though I experienced it. So I feel like that happens when I try kind of like a new style of writing, is I kind of pull back and I don't put myself into the writing. I do anything but. So I'm trying to speed up the process so I can get me in there. But I don't know why. I feel like it's kind of like a vulnerable place to be in, even if it's funny, and that scares me a little bit, so I always pull back. But that being said, I think along with all of this, I think I developed like my own poetry formula for just like cranking out poems. And it's been really interesting to just test that theory. Like, my parents had an anniversary recently, and I wrote a poem for them in like 10 minutes. And I was like, this is good, cool. And they loved it. And I was like, wow. And it's because I had this like, this AB rhyming format. And then it was like, there's a certain amount of syllables. And then there's like 8 stanzas. And then I refer back to the beginning line at the end. And like, it just works. And I feel like that's because I've written like that for so long. And I like that style that I'm really just using it to my advantage whenever possible. So I guess in that, I'm kind of analyzing what I like best about my poetry and trying to condense it. And then replicate it for something else. So that's been interesting.
That's really cool that you kind of made your own format. In my poetry class I took last semester, we were working a lot with different forms of poetry, structures and formats like sestinas and villanelles and etc., all of those, which are like super fun to work with. And it was really cool to kind of mix them around and switch things up and take elements from each one and kind of make like a new format. That's what I was really enjoying. And so I wrote a lot of formatted poems, which is weird because I never used to like having a rhyme structure or having, you know, repeated lines or anything. I always felt like if I say it once, I shouldn't say it again. Like that was kind of my mindset. But I think it's fun to have repetition now. And I think it's fun to kind of have a structure, but then play in and around it. And so kind of use it to your advantage in a way. And I think it's really fun to have that like as a starting point. Cause then I know if I don't have anything that inspires me, at least I have the structure. At least I know which word is going to go where. And then that kind of guides my writing.
That's so interesting. I think we're very opposites in our kind of like what we love about poetry and how you like the unstructured part. I'm like, I love the skeleton of this poem.
I'm like, no bones. Don't give me any.
Just mush. Like, let me do it. I
guess. No thoughts, head empty.
Yeah. And I think it was weird going into writing funny articles because there was no structure or none that I had. I was really starting so much from scratch and I was like, I don't like, do I repeat this? Do I rhyme here? But like, no, because like, it's not, it's an essay. It's not, you know, a poem. So kudos to people that can just free flow, no skeleton. Cause like, I find that so difficult.
I think it's cool though, to switch between writing poetry and then writing essays. Cause I feel like they're so different, and like academic writing versus personal writing versus humor writing versus like, you know, it's not just writing. Like there's so many different kind of ways of thinking that you need for each one. Like my way of thinking when I'm writing an English assignment is so different from how I think when I'm writing a poem for myself or a poetry assignment, you know, like it just differs so much. And it's kind of weird to be, because when I was in college, I was so into that like academic mindset. And all I could think about was like MLA citations, like just formatting this perfectly, adding in all my source quotes, like not getting a bunch of points taken off because I didn't add in like
the footnotes
or the headers or like the page numbers. And like, what's my professor going to think when they read through this, and like trying to view it through their eyes in a way, versus when I'm writing for myself, I just don't care. Like, I don't care about any of that. I'm like, if I spell a word wrong, sure. If I use wrong grammar, sure. So it's like a completely different mindset. And in that sense, like those two modes of writing feel completely different to me.
And I will say I have accidentally cross-contaminated. So I've written like poetic lines in an essay. And I feel like my poetic lines, they don't have like the, you know, it's just like, and there's a star. It's shining bright. I see it far, the morning light. And I put that and they're like, this isn't a sentence. I'm like, well, it isn't poetry. Like, please. Or they're like, yeah, this is, you know, it's, what is it? A conjunction, not a conjunction, subordinate clause. Sentence fragments. I do those all the time.
I can't tell you how many times I've gotten like, I don't know, reprimanded for having sentence fragments. And I'm like, that's how I write poetry. Like, all of my sentences are fragments. None of them are full sentences. And so switching between that and like full sentence with a clause. And that is so weird.
Yep. And as someone who should have paid more attention in English class, I'm like, wait, I hate the verb, subject, subordinate. What does that mean? Like, I'm like Googling it, like how to make a full sentence. Cause I thought it was right. And it's totally not. It's like, oh, whoops.
To be honest, I'm admitting this as someone who has a college degree, is an English major. I do not know the difference between an adverb and an adjective. I will just admit, I do not know the difference. And that goes to show you how far you can get without knowing.
So true. Yeah, I was trying to think of like the, no, adverbs are like adjectives, but not.
Like, I know that they're both descriptive. But beyond that, I have no idea.
Couldn't tell you.
No. No thoughts, head empty. Like, that is just my mode now. Anytime, like, I opened my bank account the other day, and the man who was setting it up was talking about, like, interest and all of that. And he left to print something. And I turned to my dad, and I was like, right now, I'm trying to think about everything I know about interest and credit, and I am just no thoughts head empty. Like, I could not remember a single thing I had learned. And I went through a whole, like, financial literacy app on my phone. I got a $5 Starbucks gift card out of it because I got a bunch of points from it because I got all those, like, questions right. And in that moment, I was just like, no thoughts head empty. Yep. Like, just an armadillo curled back into its shell. Like, I had nothing to give.
I'd have to agree. Even, and that goes back to our point about adulting and how we're, like, adulting but don't know how to do it, but we're, like, supposed to know how. Like, I opened, what did I do? I started, like, trading stocks, like, with the help from my dad. I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what are we going to buy and stuff? And then, like, we get on the website. And I'm like, what is this? What do I do? What does that number mean? Why is there a graph here? Where do I click things? You know? And I kind of figured it out since then. Still a little iffy. But it's weird how we're just, you know, expected or given all this terminology. And we're like, didn't learn that. But I do know the Pythagorean theorem in case that's ever necessary.
I swear, I don't think I will ever forget that. Like, late at night, when I'm trying to fall asleep, I think about Pythagoras or whatever his name was. And I think about his formula. But I cannot think about what a CD is. Like, a banking CD, not like a CD listen to music CD. But, like, it's so weird how, like, this is just, here you go, deal with it. Like, money's a thing. Do something with it.
Yeah, you're making it. You should know where to put it and how. Like, but I don't.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, but jobs are weird. Oh my gosh. I applied to a bunch of jobs and I got rejected by a bunch and I got ghosted by hiring managers a couple of times.
They do that a lot.
I was really annoyed and very shocked and appalled because all of these places, like, I live in Burlington, Vermont, for those of you not from Vermont, it's in Vermont, which is by New York. You always have to kind of specify where Vermont is. And I just say by New York, which is, like, such an abstract term. Like, by New York could be so many different places. But anyway, everyone here is hiring. Like, every single store I go to is like, we're hiring desperately, blah, 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 apply now. And so I was, like, really disappointed and kind of defeated when I got rejected because I was like, really? Like, really? I can't get a job now. And, like, this is when everyone's hiring. And I was so upset because I applied to Starbucks. I had an interview. It went great. I was so confident about it. And the company wasn't interested in me. I didn't get the job. And they have been hiring for the past, like, 2 years straight. They literally had to close, like, a bunch of locations because no one would work there. They couldn't get any employees. And they keep advertising that they're hiring and they won't hire me. And so I was so upset about that. And honestly, I have no right to be upset about it. That's their decision and I can't control it. But for any of you who are feeling like that, I have felt it too.
It's definitely very difficult. I remember trying to apply for jobs for college so I can just, like, make money to spend later. And, like, we have this large website with all the jobs and stuff. And you just, like, literally spam your resume everywhere. And half the places don't even get back to you. And it's really like, but it's a desk job. I'm sitting there greeting people and working on an Excel sheet, you know? And I definitely understand because it's like, you feel a little defeated. And definitely, like, I totally could have done that.
I think it's difficult for me, too, because I'm, like, in a kind of very specific field with, like, creative writing. I've got all this experience with, like, academic stuff. Like, I was an academic career mentor and I have, like, all this academic stuff on my resume and, like, creative things, but there really aren't that many creative jobs where I am. And it's really all just healthcare and education and that kind of thing. And I have no experience or interest in that. And so that's been kind of difficult. And my older brother's like, just throw your resume wherever you can. And I'm like, there's nowhere to throw it to. No one will catch it. Like,
I will say, shout out, on Long Island, at least, we need lifeguards and camp counselors everywhere. It's very funny. There's, like, advertisements on the TV now about a local pool. And they're like, yeah, we need people to watch the pool. We got, like, five. So, yeah, if you can swim, I highly recommend. I'm kidding, but it's weird because it's like in one part, there's like a niche, like you said, like a niche in writing and stuff, and there's not that many jobs. And then another niche, knowing how to swim and wanting to sit in a chair for 8 hours, is not being fulfilled.
It's really weird. Oh man, the job market.
Adulting.
If that's not the most adult thing that you could say, is like complaining about the job market.
We really did just have an entire conversation on the, wow, we're so adults.
Oh wow.
Look at us.
Sorry to people who are not adults.
No, but I feel like I was so empowered when I got my first job. Mm-hmm. I had like my first paycheck. I was like, oh my gosh, I did this all by myself. It was such a fun experience. So for anyone who's like, who has their first job right now or is about to get it, like, it's such a good feeling. You got to ride the wave, you know, be very proud of yourself.
I don't know what my first job was, because I've been for like, probably since I was nine, I've been doing stuff for my neighbors, like dog walking, plant watering, feeding their cats, taking care of their children, like all sorts of things. So I've always kind of had like jobs, but not like an official job where you have like a paycheck and tax forms and all that. But I think my first job like that was last summer. And I was like a TA for an English class at my college. And that was a lot of fun. I really liked that. And that led into a job that I had for the past year. So it was like a lot of fun to be in that kind of academic world. And I really think that that's where I thrive, is in like the academia world, dark academia. Like, that's just where I do the best. That's where I feel the best. That's where I'm like not miserable about what I'm doing.
I will say my very first job, where not with like taxes and stuff, but like I got paid, I got a paycheck, was I was a letter stuffer, like an envelope stuffer as part of a marketing campaign. I didn't know it was a marketing campaign. I didn't really care, but they would send me these huge boxes, and there was like the marketing strategy was like, we put aspirin, we taped like a certain part of the paper, and then it would be like, are you sick and tired of so-and-so, so-and-so? Have an aspirin and come to us instead. So essentially I was just putting these aspirins, taping them to the letters, stuffing them in envelopes and sending them to my very confused local mailman. Like, yes, please send all of these aspirins out into the world for me. Thank you. Thanks.
That does not sound very legal to me. Like, it sounds very suspicious.
Yeah.
They were just taping aspirin.
They were individually wrapped bigger like things. Ooh. That you can buy on your shelf. Okay. Yeah. It was fine. But
looking at that.
Yeah. Yep. So, hey, I mean, the marketing world, am I right? Just do what you can. Send
market
aspirin. And I remember staying up really late to like finish the order in time, and then being so proud of myself. It was like 11:30. My eyes were like drooping closed. I'm like, I did it. $50.
I marketed today.
Ending the world one aspirin at a time.
That's like what you do as a superhero. Your superpower.
You can just shoot little like tablets of aspirin out of my hand. Ooh.
Aspirin woman. So what are you looking forward to in the next little bit? What are some of your upcoming plans or exciting things?
Let's see. I'm excited to continue this funny article publication thing they have going on. I'm just about to post my fourth article, which is really exciting. And I've been trying just like different kinds of funny, so like sarcastic and hyperbole and irony and all those things. Some of them I like, some of them I'm like never doing this again because I don't really understand it. Along with that, what else am I doing? I'm excited for college to start back up again. I'm taking classes that are actually, I find interesting, unlike last year, except for I'm taking a math class, which I'm not looking forward to, but I'm taking journalism, and PR and like marketing and stuff. And that'll be really fun. And I'm in a lovely group on campus called Public Harmony, which is, we go to different like senior homes and we play music for them. And it's really fun for them, but also for us, because we get to just play stuff. So I literally have a playlist on YouTube, actually, just like saved musics that I want to do with a variety of different people. And every time I hear a song, I'm like, oh, we should do that for Public Harmony. Like, the old people are going to love that. Or maybe I'm going to love it more, but it's fine. They'll listen to it. It's all good. And yeah, then I'm just going to be working. But I really like my job, so I don't actually mind doing that part. It's very fun.
Oh, that's so exciting. I think it's great when you get to the point in college where you can choose what you enjoy and what you want to study, what you want to purposely like learn about instead of just requirements.
Mm-hmm.
That was like my favorite time, was when I finally got past my degree requirements and I could just do whatever I wanted. And that's when I went like crazy with it.
Which, I mean, as you should. I mean, I was looking at what classes I wanted to take even like the summer before, and I knew I had to take these basic biology or, you know, intro to English and all that stuff. And that's what kept me going, you know. And I really feel like, I feel like this is everybody, but I'd so rather study things that I'm interested in than study random topics. And I'm like, oh, I need it for a requirement, so I'm going to do well. Like, it's so much harder. I had to take a language class. I had to take Spanish, and it was so difficult because I love the language, but at the same time, I was like, this is not for me. I'm not a good person at learning languages. I looked it up and everything. I was like, is there like, can you just not learn languages? Is that a thing? It's kind of not. But some people have a harder time with it, and I'm definitely one of those people. So that was not, while I appreciated the class and I love the professor dearly, it was hard for me to just study it and absorb everything. Cause I was like, I'd rather just write journalism articles.
Yeah. I really like studying languages. I took 1 year of French in high school, and I forget 90% of it, but I really enjoyed learning it. And I've learned a couple of other languages, and I do pick up on it quickly, but only like reading and writing it. I cannot like understand it when I hear it or speak it, which is weird because usually I'm better at like hearing things than like writing them. I don't know. It's weird how like in a different language, your brain works differently, but I really would like to learn more French. I've always wanted to go to France and other French speaking countries. So someday, but yeah, it's difficult to be engaged in a class when you just don't want to be there. And when the professors don't want to be there, not naming names, but it's nice to finally get to the point where like you're enjoying the class, your classmates are enjoying the class, and the professor's enjoying the class. And that's really where I thrive and what I'm looking forward to.
That's so exciting.
I can't wait for the fall. I know I've complained a lot about it, but I really can't wait for it. And it's going to go by really fast because I'm kind of a weird sophomore / junior where I've got almost enough credits to be a junior, but I'm technically a second term sophomore. So I'll make them up along the way, but I'll graduate in 2 years. So spring 2024, graduating again. Oh boy.
That's so exciting.
Well, after that, I don't know. I know.
Yeah. I have not gotten past like the college mindset. I'm so happy that I was able to like find an environment that I really loved, and like I love the people there. I'm really excited to go back. Like, somewhere's fun and all, but I'm like, I want to go back to school, which I feel like I've never said that before, but like I really mean it. Like, I'm ready. But like, that being said, I don't know what's gonna come out after college. We'll have to do another line break, give it another 2 years.
Of course. I feel like every time I look back at like something I've written about my life or something I've said about my life at some point, I'm like, wow, that's so weird because I do not remember thinking that about it. And I do not think about it like that now. And so like my perspective just changes like so quickly about things that it's like, I'll probably never feel this way again, you know? So I'm glad that I can capture it somehow.
I've done that purposely for, I think it was before, like the night before college started and like all of this stuff, I wrote a poem. The one time I wrote a poem, or kind of, I guess more like an essay that was just like, this is how I feel right now. This is what I think about these things. Are they going to change? And then I read it at the end of the year, and some of it was the same. And then some of it, I was like, wow, that was very different from what I predicted. And I did it again when I started my job as a swim counselor at camp. So I was like, okay, right now I think children are like awesome and they should be respected. And you know, like they have such great ideas. Am I going to feel this way at the end of the summer? I read it back and I was like, no, not really. But, you know, some of it's very true. I came out of the experience like, I respect kids more. And I think like we should listen to them more in a way. And at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I probably should have used a timeout once or twice more than I did. But it's fine, you know? And it's weird to just like kind of read back your thoughts. Be like, wow, I thought about it this way. And so much has changed. I highly recommend doing this. Like if you're starting, you know, like ninth grade, or you're like, just like whatever it is, you know, starting a new experience, just write about how you feel about it in that moment. Cause it's so interesting to look back.
I did that too, actually. I wrote this like really, really long note. It was like two or three pages, and then I typed it up on my typewriter because I was like, you know what? That sounds cool. And then I don't know where I put it. I put it somewhere and I will find it soon. And then I'll be like, wow, that's so cool that I thought like that. But for years, I've been doing that, actually. I've been writing like how I'm feeling in the moment, or like, here's my little thought, open this in 2 years. And so I've been doing that for so long. But this that I wrote was before graduation. I think it was like the week before my graduation. And it was right after I had gotten together with one of my friends from middle school, and we took some graduation photos because she was graduating too from high school. And then we said goodbye, and she's going to college in California. And so probably not going to see each other, who knows when. And we've been friends for like 7 years. And this is the first time that like, we don't know when we can see each other next, because it's always been like, well, I'll see you before this point. Like, I'll see you at least in 6 months, or at least in 2 months, you know? But now it's like, I have no idea when. And so I think that's kind of when it started to hit me that like, wow, things are really changing, like around me and within me, and I have no control over it. And it was like a really weird time. I think I kind of bummed myself out from it, but I really wanted to like capture it because I was feeling so sad about college, but I was also so excited. And so it was like, coming to terms with both feelings and saying that both are okay to feel. Like, it's okay to feel sad that everyone's moving around you and like everyone's moving away and going to different places, but it's also okay to feel excited about where you're going. And so that's what I wrote. I'm pretty sure that's what I wrote. That's what I remember from what I wrote. It'll be cool to kind of go back to that and reflect on it a month into college, or however long, whenever I find it.
I have nothing more to add to that. You summed that up perfectly.
Oh, thank you. I think it's like, it's weird for me because I've been in college, but I haven't been in college. Like, all my classes were online. So basically it was no different from what I did before, you know, when I was in high school, because I was all online too. So now I feel like I'm really in college. So it's very weird, but I want to say now, most of all, I am excited. And most of all, I'm looking forward to it. If you're in the same place, if you're starting a new grade, moving away, continuing a grade, I don't know, whatever, like, just even if you're nervous about it, or kind of anxious or not feeling great about it, just look forward to the things that you know you're going to enjoy. Like, I know I'm really going to enjoy my literature classes. And so I'm really excited for those. And I'm not thinking about having to do laundry, or having to find a job, or having to do all these other things that stress me out. I'm just focusing on, I know I'm going to love my literature classes. And I know I'm going to love meeting other people who have the same interests that I've already talked to, who like remarkably similar to me. Like, honestly, I found 5 doppelgangers already. And so, yeah, those are my thoughts right now.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I feel like, you know, you have to identify what's also making you very excited about a new experience, and kind of just like, you know, hope for the best. You know, I was going into college, I was like, I'm preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. And I was like, that's so like edgy, I feel like, you know, like, at the same time, you're, you know, I feel like you can't put yourself in such a headspace like, this is gonna be so bad, you know, because then you're less likely to find the little things that make you happy in it.
Exactly. This has been our alumni advice. Alumni conversations. I think that's what I'm calling this series. I don't know.
Like it.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. It was so cool to talk about what you've been up to as a YWP alumni, and what your plans are, and writing and publishing, and thoughts on all of that. And I can't wait to read more of your pieces.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And it was so fun catching up with you. I love lunch break.
This has been a very special Alumni Conversations episode of Line Break. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for a couple more very special Alumni Conversation episodes to come soon. Bye!